The Gilmore Keyboard Festival will continue its Rising Stars series with a performance Sunday at 4 o'clock by jazz pianist Glenn Zaleski, who's on the line with me today here on Classical WMUK. Glenn, thank you for joining me to preview this concert.
Yes, I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks, Kara.
You're actually going to travel here, bring your companions, bassist and drummer, and set up in the Wellspring Theater for a live concert to Kalamazoo and the rest of the world. Have you been doing much travel during this restricted pandemic year?
No, I haven't been doing much travel, although I'm just beginning to. Last week I traveled to Akron, Ohio, and then I'll be going to Kalamazoo on Saturday, and I'll be in Chicago in June. So it's just beginning to start. But before this month, yeah, it's been, 13, 14 months of staying right here in Brooklyn.
Oh, so your home base is in the state of New York, Brooklyn, you said.
Yes.
Did you grow up there? Where was home when you were much younger?
No, I grew up in Massachusetts. I grew up in Worcester, Massachusetts, actually a suburb of Worcester. The town is called Boylston. And yeah, I grew up there. My mother is from Brooklyn, so I kind of came back to where she came from. But my family is all in Massachusetts now.
Was it very young that you started playing by ear and using jazz as a form of expression, or was there a mentor that came along and put you down that road? How did that work out?
Oh, well, I was always interested in jazz music. Actually, almost as early as I can remember, my elementary school had a jazz band, so I joined that when I was in the fourth grade, and I just had a great time, playing in that. And also, my older brother plays saxophone, and he started playing in the jazz band, and I know that I was looking up to him because he's a musician, and he's a great professional musician. And so when he was young, he was doing great. He was really a star in the jazz program. I mean, he still is. And I saw his example as well. So from a very early age, I was playing jazz music.
Yesterday, I was listening in the background. I had tune after tune, mostly on YouTube, I admit, of you playing in different settings. And I was kind of multitasking, working on posting that day's interview. I wrote down just these random thoughts every once in a while as I listened. And I don't know if it's worth anything, but I wrote hyper fleeting touch. And by that,
oh, wow. Nice.
By that, Glenn, I mean, you have the ability to leave a little vacuum after a phrase that leaves me like wanting to fill it in with sound or breath. Or it's a wonderful way of phrasing things that drew me in deeply.
Well, that's fantastic. Thanks for saying that. Are you a pianist or a musician?
I am a flutist. I play Irish accordion as well. Piano, no. But when you live in Kalamazoo, you sure have some terrific experiences listening to live pianists. The second thing that I quickly wrote down was just in real deep. You were talking to your fellow musicians. The harmonies you chose are complicated enough that I don't know what kind they are, but they struck me as a vehicle for your expression.
Well, geez, thank you for checking out that music and I'm glad that you feel that way. I mean, I do think a lot about phrasing. I am very conscious of that, and what you mentioned as a vacuum, or I do think a lot about space. You know, I envy, you know, you play the flute, and I envy you wind players, because you have a natural sense of breath, because you have to breathe to play your instrument. And you know, I try and phrase with the piano that way, so maybe that's what you had noticed. And yeah, with as far as harmonic material, yeah, you know, I'm sure it's not that complicated. I could explain it to you. It's probably not that complicated, but I you know, I like exploring different, you know, I've been doing this since I was in elementary school, so I like, you know, exploring different pathways, harmonic pathways to move through a tune. Yeah, I'm sure it's not that complicated. I can I could explain it to you in no time.
Probably, but I'd be following you into a really rich tapestry of sound that you've that you've built in, you know, mentally, as you're able to draw on and play. I understand you will be playing a combination of original pieces and traditional or standard, or even maybe you're bringing attention to things that should be standards on the program mm-hmm. on Sunday. So there will be a mix?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I couldn't have put it better myself. One thing is that, you know, that this concert was originally supposed to be last summer, and then it got postponed to the fall, and ultimately it got postponed until now, May. But I mentioned that because last summer I had an album that came out, and this concert was going to coincide with the release of that album. So my original plan was to play music from that album, and I'm still going to do that partially. So I'll be playing some of my original music from my album, The Question, that came out last year. But a year has gone by, so I've got some new stuff that I'm playing, and I'm going to add that to the program as well. Yeah, some standards and some arrangements, and some stuff I'm sure that everybody will enjoy.
It's funny. I've in conversations, I've had very different reactions to asking an artist about their most recent album, frequently because they've almost moved on and forgotten about it. So it's kind of a drag to take them back to 2018 and say, okay, tell me about how this was made. But I did want to ask you about a lineup you had there. This was for five musicians for the most part, correct?
Right. This was a quintet album that I recorded last summer, and it was something that I was compelled to do. My wife and I, I had a baby in March, the baby, Alan, he was ultimately born weeks early in February, but the due date was last March, and I really wanted to get a recording done before he was born. So I had this quintet, and you know, we scrambled into the studio and we got the record done in the middle of February. But then, of course, our son came 3 weeks early, so it ended up that he was born days after this music was recorded. But it was a lot closer than we had expected. I wouldn't have scheduled the recording session 6 days before the due date. But anyways, the music was composed in the previous 9 months before that session, and I was, you know, in a meditative state, you know, thinking about beginning a family, and yeah, that's where the music came from. And I'm proud of it, and I'm really happy that we got the album out. You know, we didn't get to perform or anything because of coronavirus, but mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking forward to finally getting to play some of the music in Kalamazoo, although it's only going to be trio, and the record it's quintet, but it'll work.
For trivia lovers here in Kalamazoo, there is a player on The Question named Lucas Pino, and who has been to Kalamazoo a few times, as he was a great friend and collaborator with a former Western Michigan University jazz faculty member named Jeremy Siskind. And
right.
I had the chance to talk to Lucas. He was a terrific player, of course.
Oh, yeah. That's great. Yes, Lucas is one of my oldest friends, and I know I'm also a fan of Jeremy's and the singer-songwriter project. I think he changed the name, but I'm a fan of that trio, and Lucas is one of my oldest friends. We went to college together, and one of my oldest friends and one of my favorite musicians, and I think he was just a tremendous force on this album. So I'm glad that you know him and got to talk to him.
It just brings lots of warm associations to your appearance in Kalamazoo at the Wellspring Theater Sunday at 4 o'clock. Details are available at thegilmore.org. You can purchase your online ticket there to watch the concert live Sunday at 4 o'clock. So let's talk about the two musicians you are bringing with you to Kalamazoo, Desmond White and Alan Mednard.
Well, yeah, they're two of my oldest friends as well. Not quite as old as, and they also play in The Question, where the rhythm section on the album. I met Des when I first talk about 11 years ago. And we just played together in project about 5 years. And we're also the rhythm section, my friend Alex Lurie's quartet, together a lot in different side projects. Although, admittedly, as a trio, we have only played one other concert together a few years ago. So we've played a lot together as side, although as just a trio, it hasn't been quite as often, but I know it's going to work great. We're very compatible and we're very friendly, and it's going to be a real blast.
That's what's so thrilling about talking to musicians in the field of jazz is you can play a gig with full trust, even though you haven't rehearsed for months together.
Well, we did rehearse. We rehearsed maybe 3 weeks ago, and then we'll rehearse again, you know, in Kalamazoo.
Yeah.
But it'll be fine. You know, we know the music. I mean, we recorded the music on the album last year, and you know, we speak the language and know how to make it work. So I really, really can't wait to play, and I'm really excited to go to Kalamazoo. I mean, you mentioned the tradition of piano playing in Kalamazoo, and it's something that I'm aware of, and I've never gotten to go, and I'm honored to, you know, be part of the program, and I just can't wait to see what it's like there.
The first of many appearances, I hope.
Yeah, me too.
This might be kind of a rude thing to comment on, but in some of those live recordings on YouTube where you're in a venue, a different venues, the pianos were not perfect. I mean, a couple had a bum note or two on the keyboard.
That would be a nice way of putting it. Yeah.
So that is one of those, working musician conditions that you learn to, you know, adapt to in the moment. You did stay completely focused on the music with your companions. You made it look like it was just terrific, the whole thing. But it must be kind of a relief when you can access a piano in a venue that is just a delight to play, as it will be here. I think I can promise that.
Yes, it makes such a huge difference. I can't tell you. I mean, yeah, as a matter of professionalism, you just deal with whatever you're dealt with. And, you know, I've become comfortable with that, you know, finding a way to make anything work. You know, that's part of the gig. You know, that's just what you deal with, and that's actually kind of a fun challenge in its own way. But needless to say, it's way better when the piano is nice and when the sound is nice. So yeah, I can't wait to go to the Wellspring Theater. I mean, I know the piano is great in there. Well, I guess I don't know if it'll be a different piano, but I've seen videos from the Gilmore, and I know it's going to be really top-notch. So, I'm thrilled.
You can look forward to that for sure. And we can look forward to you as well as your companions, Desmond White on bass and Alan Mednard on drums, bringing some of your music to life, as well as songs you have picked from the canon. Any unusual things that we might hear that you've adapted?
Oh, well, there might be a few surprises, but I'll keep them as surprises.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for previewing this concert with me. I wish you all luck on this concert and your future endeavors, and the chance to talk to you again would be wonderful. Thanks so much, Glenn.
Thanks, Kara. This was a blast.